I don't think they'll pull that thing no more. Because we're like the rabbit now. We don't trust the sound of a stick, if you know what I'm talking about. Because people now have got their ears open more now than what they had at that time. No, because them two again, there's a lot of these young folks has grown up, and they're out when a lot of us are in. They out and see such as that. Where along then, most of the young folks were made to stay at home. See?
Was out after 9 o'clock at night,
I
had to be home.
Yeah, you had to
get
be
it
home.
Get about 7:30 and get the homework done.
Yes, sir.
Did the ships have a car?
I think at one time they had a little old Ford or something. I don't know what that little old car was. It wasn't very big.
But I used to go down here with that. Was that Cochran boy over here?
Tom Ship had a car, you say?
Yeah, I thought it was. You see him going down through here before.
Yeah, I don't know which one owned it, but I thought it was Thomas's car.
You remember when the Cannon boy got killed over here on the...
Adam? Yeah.
Oh, when you over there?
Oliver Burden, I think, lived down there, didn't he? Where Avis lived. That blind man.
And Mort Jones lived right down here.
Well, he lived right down here.
Yeah, next to Jim, right?
Next, on the, right on the other side of Mansfield's property. Yeah. So, I don't know where Avis was living then.
Marcus Cannon, Gus Cannon living over there. Claire,
yeah.
Them was on the corner.
Yeah, and Abe Smith, he was a young man, and I don't recall his age.
They was just kids,
huh? Yeah, 18. They, huh?
18.
I knew they were young, and they was nice looking boys, And it was to my surprise to find out that they were in such a mess of that.
But anyway, that's generally the purpose of it. And, you know, all the facts aren't really apparent, so you kind of have to talk to people, and some of them don't remember. What we do is just try to sort of fill it in some way, so that's kind of what we're doing.
Well, Larry, I'll put it this way, of course, that girl there, that one fellow, was her brother.
Yes, I know.
And, of course, she wasn't around me at that time when I lived here. She lived up on Nebraska Street. But, all in all, the facts that I can give you, and I went to school with two of the boys. Went to school with Cameron and
did you sit down here?
Sit down a little bit. And Ship. Now she can tell you more about her brother than I can, but from the details and the things, the way I seem to get it, Larry, you know you don't like to go around put yourself up on a pedestal and down the other fellow. Now, from what I get, Ship seemed to be the ringleader. I didn't know nothing about what it was going to lead to, or I didn't know what was going to happen. But we did get a little sketch in the paper of these filling stations and different places being robbed. One day, I was standing in his backyard, and the Ship boy stopped up there. Of course, he worked at the mouth. got to talking and telling me and the Johnson boy, a friend of mine, we all kind of grew up here together, about that robbing, this and that and the other. I said, well, Tommy, I said, you'll get caught, that's no good. Well, I said, you better quit it, you got a good job. I said, you're more fortunate than the rest of us boys. My dad died when I was 12 years old, and I said, I can't afford a car. His parents were living, and now he helped his mother. And he was practically, might say, the sole breadwinner to a certain extent. But his daddy, I don't know how they were supported, because he was crippled. He had worked in the foundries. And I said, Tommy, you're fortunate. They allow you to buy a car, run around, the rest of us kids be scuffling around, doing this and that and the other. And, well, he says, you just a fraidy cat, this and that and the other. I said, well, maybe I am. And one word led on another, and after a while, Larry, why, what kind of hurt me and got me kind of up was when he said, well, he said, them people in the South down there killed my uncle or something. I said, I'm going to show these people. I said, Tommy, you're wrong. I said, what these people know about your uncle in the South? I don't know exactly where Tommy and them was raised at in the South, but well, I mean where his uncle and them was. But he come up here, a young kid, I don't think he was born here. Now, some of them kids I think was. But I know he went to school, D.A. Payne School, because that's where we went. And I said, if you want to hurt somebody, or you're mad at some white people, why don't you go back down south and get the people that did something to your uncle? I said, don't bring it up in this part of the country, because we don't live like that. And I said, man, you just altogether. Well, him and I kind of got in a little row. Of course, I was a little heated too, you know. He kind of one word led on the other. I said, well, if you don't leave, them people won't have to kill your uncle. So I broke in the house and get my gun. He left. He had a little old pistol in his thing, see? I said, you get out of here.
You say he did have one?
I guess he had a pistol. Yeah. I don't know. It's been kind of faint, Larry, but I'm pretty sure he did have. I'm not sure. I wouldn't want that definitely said, but anyhow, he was giving me a hard time, and I told him you got to go. Well, then, in the meantime, while he left, her cousin and I, name of Johnson, the boy, said, we was pretty close. He said, they got him off in the corner. And they had him pretty well talked into going with them.
Now, who's that now?
That was a boy by the name of Leonard Johnson. But he didn't go.
Who, did Tom talk to him and somebody
else?
Yeah,
and Tom. Tom was the only one out there at that time. I don't remember whether Cameron was over here that day or not when he was talking. Now, Herb could have been, but her brother was. I knew Abram well. So, and then I don't know whether Abram was really hooked up to him, because he could have went on down and started talking to Abram just like he started talking to me, you see. Maybe Abram didn't know no about him. Finally, he talked him into it, just like Johnson. They almost talked him into it, see.
What kind of car did Tom have?
He had a 1926 Ford. Them little old turtle backs, you know, them drop things over it, and they had that turtle back.
Top came off?
No, it was... kind of canvas top, you remember them little, and they had a little turtle back in here. Oh, that was the hottest little thing going. Yeah, see?
What color was it?
I think it was, most of them was painted kind of green, kind of green. Most
it
of
was tough.
Yeah. Oh, they were sharp. And of course, all the gals would go for you, little old young boy, you can have your car. You the hottest thing going, see? Of course, he was working. He could buy a car.
He had a good job.
See?
Better than the rest of the guys.
He got on away from here, and I never thought no more about it. Never thought no more about it until they went out that night, and somebody said somebody shot Dieter, some girl out there. But I wasn't really dreaming of him. And pretty soon, along about 9:30, 10 o'clock, cause it'd get dark. I used to have too good lights. We've got more lights back in than I'm used to. I heard that 26 Ford wound up. It was running as hard as it could. And there was a big bump in that road right there. And of course, everybody all knew it. And Tommy knew it too. but he knew he'd done wrong. The police was after him because we didn't know that. And he hit that into here, that four bound. I mean, when it went across there, and I mean, it was flying. He never lost it. He made that circle, and up there, there wasn't quite as many houses. There wasn't no Dodge place or nothing down here at that time. No house over there in that field. And I run to this back window, because you could look out through the commons, what we call the common. And I seen the door, because you could tell these small lights at night, you know, in the dark. I said, Unc, I said, Tommy's into something. Unc Leaf and I was laying in there. That was old bedroom. After I bought this place, I'll make a bathroom out of that. After my parents are all gone. So, anyhow, I said, Unc, I wonder what's the matter. Wasn't long I heard that police car. That sounds well, ain't no great deal. Like everybody in Marion knew each other in them days. It's just like Muncie over there and putting in their bikes. You know a lot of people in Muncie. So I said, no, I don't know what's happened, but I said, the way that Tommy was talking, I said, you know, Leonard and I fought all day. Leonard was going to go. And me and him fought. I mean, we were best of friends. Wherever you see Leonard Johnson, you see me. And I'm telling you, and we fought all day. I said, Leonard, I'll hurt you. Well, we finally quit fighting. I said, if you that'll feel that way about it, just go ahead on. I said, I'm going home. And I come on back over here. I never seen Leonard no more. Till about...
Where did this conversation go on? Here in the back? Back in?
Yeah, we got there in the backyard. There wasn't nobody here. But, that time, I don't think this part of the house was even down the ring.
Now, was that the day before the robbery that night, or was that a day
that
before?
Before that robbery was. They'd been robbing
the same day? The same day?
Yeah, that same night, they've done some more robbing, but they had been in the paper before.
But he was telling you that he was involved in it.
Yeah, and he said, we are so long time ago. Yes, what? So, and he told you where the places were, you know. But...
Do you remember?
Like anybody, you know, I don't believe it to a certain extent, man. Till he got serious, you know. And then he tells me, yeah, you better come on. And then when he finally told me about his uncle, and what the white people had done to his uncle down there, and I said, well, man, these people up here, I said, we don't live like that. I said, man, I sleep, eat, go in white people's house, lay down, and they come here, they eat. I said, we don't live like that, Tommy. I said, if you feel that way about us, why don't you go on back south and take that down there? I said, if they do that kind of living down there, you take it down there. I don't want it up here. Well, then that's what brought on one thing to the other, and that'd be not running him out of here. Especially, and of course, my mama would have had a fit. Well, she's up in Michigan, she's sick anyhow, and then when all this come out, hit the news and went across, well, she knew exactly they had a time. And when they told her out all in this neighborhood, you know, she lived here for all them years, she knew what was happening there. And she was all shook up, thought maybe I got it, because I was the only one that was really loose. My sister had died. At that time, she taught school, and of course, the other boys were married. And Marshall, the youngest boy, he was seeing my brother. Well, she knew right in there she was just having a fit. Well, she never got the news that I was with him. So the next day, they began to get the rumors.
What else happened that night? Did you hear the police come and take him? Or?
No, we heard the police come, and we know they taken him. But I couldn't see it with dark flare. We didn't get up and go down there. The only reason why I knew that they had taken him to town, the next day we heard that they'd taken him to town. Well... The rumors begin to sweat and come on about they was going to lynch them boys, and of course, it never had happened. We knew definitely the shirts and things that we had wasn't going to let that happen. And everybody around, both colored and white, had the confidence of that. And I know the well-to-do white people did. We've lost a lot of our good well-to-do people on account of that incident. They let it get away, and they said, this will never happen. Well, I think if they would have got the Sheriff Campbell, but they claimed he was out of town. Nobody could reach him, or this and that and the other. And the rumors began to get worse, and long over in that evening, you could just begin to tense you know, that is after them boys was in jail, it just began to build. They went right down there in the Marion Machine where my uncle worked, and they took them sledgehammer and things out there. And they drug them boys through the street. And actually, I don't think there was hardly any colored people really thought they was going to do it. I knew what was going on. If they had a knew it, Larry, I'm saying it this way. They would have been more than them boys did. It'd been a whole lot of people. Maybe it was cut out to be that way, because a lot of us had made up our mind. This is the only place we got to go.
Yeah.
And if we got to die, we might as well die at home as to be run away from home. Regardless, he could have been colored and coming in and going to kill somebody to do that. He still yet got killed, see. So, well, when the news really got out, and somebody come out and said, you know, the Nate's damn boys? And then they begin to make a lot of noise. You know how it was all over town, and then
do you remember how you heard about it,
Somebody, I think, whispered it out. I don't know exactly. But what really made me know that they had done something, I heard Miss Ship scream. You could hear her out of that back door, out of that front door. Yeah. I mean, the horriblest scream you ever heard in your life. Well, then that sent something. Well, then, Larry, it was bad. It was really bad. The white people that I knew, because we had white people live right in this neighborhood, they were the same. And all the colored people were the same. But when you go through town somewhere, you can just sense things. Nobody was bothering them. And it kept beginning to get worse. Okay, they seen things were fixing to happen because we walked guard just like soldiers. They was not going to let us lay down in our homes here yet. No. Now, they done what they wanted to do. But yet and still, they're going to burn us out. So then we made up our mind. Yeah, I sent clean the mission. I got special riot shells. Yeah, I got them. And we walked there just like guards. And the telephone set against, well, I've cleaned that place off. You sit right there, because we was about the only one at that time. I had to way back then. Had no telephone in here. There's a few of it scattered.
Did the ships have a phone?
I don't think they had one. I think ours and Charlie Lee down there used to give it about the closest phone here. And then you had to get over in this direction to get them over there near Frazier's.
Right, Frazier.
So anyhow, we'd take intervals and sleep. And we'd have to walk guard. And they started down, we'd hear the bells ringing. And the sirens, whatever them guys had on them old car, and they'd get right here. But the police was doing the best they could do, I guess. After everything had done happened, they wouldn't let them turn, because we done called in, told them to the time, said, turn loose. If they come down through here, said, we're going to help them. Said, you don't need to come down. Just send that wagon right behind them, because we're going to help them all out. We ain't going nowhere, see? And we meant that, Larry. So they would turn them around and head them somewhere. Well, somehow or other, I know the fellows were white. They got right there by my brother's house, and I was on guard right there. And we'd been given orders. Of course, I don't know who was supposed to shoot to kill. Well, my daddy had an old double barrel. That's what I had. Pulled both triggers back. I didn't have one with safety. And we called Uncle Pally, Uncle Morton, and that. They were laying there asleep, but you could hear that old gun's cocked for a half a mile. And they heard me click both of them back. I pulled them back. And as I had it aimed on that car and laid down on that, one guy went and knocked the gun. And one hadn't went off. Didn't knock the triggers off. And they could hear him mumbling. They said, don't kill him. I said, you told him to shoot to kill, didn't you? They said, Don, you go home. Get on that phone and call in. And tell them now you're going to kill him. Mm-hmm. If somebody don't get out of here, the police better get here. Well, Uncle Morton, that's when he had them old mules, you know, back in them days. And he had a little platform up there, and in his little old, what you call a little bridge where it went across there where his water drained under, that board was loose. Well, I didn't know the board was loose. And this is the truth, Larry. You know, a lot of people will tell things, and I'm a young boy. I must have been around, well, I don't know how old Tommy was, but he wasn't over, Tommy wasn't over a year older than me, he was. But anyhow, I was big enough to be able to work in a marble like Tommy was. I hit that plank, and that plank come up between my legs and tripped me, and I scooted about halfway out of that street. And this is the truth, fellas, as hard as I could crawl, that car looked like it had an instant start. I mean, that car didn't hesitate. That man was running, and I barely crawled out of the way. He almost ran out of me. And you heard the car, the tar skid and all that going down. And he got out of here. He never did come back in here no more. And, well...
Now that, what about what time of night did that happen? Is that the night of the lynching?
No. That was, I'd say, maybe been two or three days. You know, it was still yet heated around here afterwards.
Okay.
And they were still yet going to talk about they're going to burn all the colored people out.
Right.
See, they're going to burn us out north. I mean, what few was in north and what was out west and all in South Marion and what was down on Meridian, clear over there in Johnstown, see? Well, now here we was in patches over here. Patches out there, patches over there. And most all homeowners, just like I am now, I'm not going nowhere, Larry. They can start anything they want. I'm going to die here. I got a plot paid for out there. I ain't going to give nobody no trouble, but I'm going to die here. So if they think I'm going to run, And I'm not bad, but I tell them all, no, I ain't going nowhere. So I made up my mind that's the way we was going to do it here. So after I got so tired, they sent me to the country. Out to my uncle's, out here about 8 miles. Larry, this is the truth. Out along there, and them people still yet, some of them knew. Of course, it was hot. And how people get something going, I don't know whether somebody was doing a scare or not. But they come by my uncle's and holler, hey, you niggas in there, we know you in there. And then, well, I'm already up here going to die, and I told my brother and them, I got in the car the next day, I said, I'm going back to town to die. I ain't going way out here 8 miles to die. I'm going back to town. See? I said, well, down you can. I said, I couldn't get no rest out there because I said, I broke out of that house down to them cornfields. Didn't have a gun, didn't have nothing, see? And there I was, see? So I come back up here. Well, when I got back up here, the militia was here.
Yeah.
Well, man, I guess they had a time. They said, no. They said, everybody's the same as far as me. And he says, and I'm going to tell you something, boys. He says, he can be a white man out there. If he comes down here and starts doing something, I'm going to kill him. Now they got their own guns. Said, you all go home and go rest. Put your guns up. Says, yeah, my skin is white. Says, and you may not believe me, but said, if he come in here and start any stuff, said, he can be colored, he can be white, he can be anything. Says, you fight him. Says, you see us taking him out. They assured us that much. We ain't got no worries. Well, don't you know one thing? Even on the white people back here and the real fair skin, light complexion colored people, we had to bounce for them, you know. Yeah, them flavors.
A lot of them.
Oh yeah, they would not let you cross in. That militia was tough. So they're the only ones that really slowed things down and finally went to cool it off. But I'm glad they did, Larry, because if they hadn't, it was really going to get bad. There was people coming in from Michigan and different people coming in from there, and there was carloads going to come from Muncie and all these things. Marion was really fixing to get it on. You hadn't seen nothing bad. But if all that was got in there between what white people were coming and what Negroes were coming, it was going to be, a good revolution.
And
the rest of us homeowners that was here, we had made up our mind. We've been here all these years. We are not causing this trouble. And actually, to my say, I will put it to my thinking. Now, this is my thinking. It's nobody else. But I think, well, as I knew Tommy, that he was the main instigator as far as the ringleader of the colored boys. Now, what caused this out here on the road, I don't know.
What about, let me ask you something. You said that he was talking about robbing some of these places. Do you remember any places that he talked about specifically? There was a robbery out here on the Sand Pike on Wednesday before this happened that I think he was involved in. Then there was one out at a place called Albert Blair's Filling Station, which was out here to the west.
He said something, but Larry, I'm like you say, now that's been a good number of years. faint. But it seemed like to me he said something about a filling station or something like that one time. But you know, we was kind of heated in the argument, and I'm not believing all he's saying. I knew definitely I wasn't going with him. So I would hate to put anything against the boy that's really not true. But he definitely told me they were doing some robbing.
How would you classify him? Was he an outgoing person or a more quiet person? Was he talkative or any particular traits of personality that you noticed? Or would distinguish him from, say, 10 other people if you saw him?
Well, he was, I'd say a likable guy to a certain extent, only he had a few overbearing ways that I really didn't care for. But I don't know whether he's that much talking. He would talk. Maybe like now, I'm talking and running my mouth. It's the first time you've ever seen me. But I talk, and I'm a human. I'll get mad like anybody else, or this and that and the other. And maybe I might say a few things that I wouldn't do. But there is certain things that when you get people in a spot, they will do, see? Mm-hmm. So as far as saying Tommy was a real bad fella, I don't think he was that. But if you got something going, he would go for it all. And I think as it kept getting worse, was no, didn't seem to be nothing afraid about it. He stayed till the end. So I don't know.
What about Herbert Cameron?
Well, Cameron, as far as I'm concerned, he wasn't a bad boy. He was not a bad boy. He was just talked into it. Just like her brother was. Abram wasn't a bad boy. The men that helped kill Abram, he worked with them. Born and raised out around. They said some of the guys that helped knock Abram in the head up there, they slept together, run together, and everything else. Somebody had forced them people to do what they did. See?
Was Abram born here?
Born and raised here. She was too. That's her brother.
Mm-hmm.
See, he wasn't a bad fella. I don't think Tommy was that bad, but something got to going the wrong way.
Had Tommy been in any trouble before that you know of, or Cameron or Smith?
No, I don't think so. If it was little petty stuff and minor stuff, or like kids do, but I don't nothing that I ever knew any of them to be in any trouble at all.
Either any three of these guys have dressed in any special way, or just the way, you know, kids dress?
Just the way kids dress. He's old farm boy, her brother, and a lot of times you'd see him in what we call overhauls, or sometimes bib overhauls, or
blue shirt.
And Tommy went along casual, and Cameron was the same way. And Cameron was not originally from here. Hess Burden married Cameron's mother. And they were relation somehow Oh, excuse me, Larry, for not that. There's a tree right behind you up there, too. I was married to May Bolden and